So one morning in worship this past summer, I misheard the preacher. Truth be told, I wasn't paying the closest of attention. I'm sure that never happens here, right? The sermon was, dare I say, not that engaging. Again, I'm sure that never happens here. I was out of town with my family. We were on vacation, and we went to church to worship at the church that was closest to our brand of Christianity, that was closest to the hotel where we were staying. The sanctuary had those red velvet pew cushions. In fact, y'all have them here. They must have been bestsellers. I've seen them in congregations from Canada to the West Coast. And we're in this sanctuary, and it felt very familiar. The people were the usual stalwart every Sunday suspects. And attendance was sort of sparse on this summer Sunday, and the choir and the preacher were without robes, which was good because there was no air conditioning in that sanctuary, and it was hot. The first hymn I'd never heard before, but other than that, the service reminded me of the one of my childhood. Because in this order of service, the sermon was at the very end. And as a kid, I just thought that was so cruel. Because, you know, you look at the order and you think, we're almost done. And then you look at the clock and you go, wow, we got a lot of time to go. And just like in my childhood, I was really trying hard to pay attention that Sunday. I really was trying hard to listen, but my focus wandered to the people in front of me, and they had beautiful stained glass windows, so I looked at those for a while, and then I started going through the little pieces of paper in the little wooden pocket on the back of the pew. Y'all know those, right? You know, they ask for your offering. There's a little space that says you can put a prayer request. But I was willing myself back to the pastor, trying to pay attention as he paced back and forth in the chancel. And I heard him reference a book, the title of which I thought was An Unheard Life. An Unheard Life. I thought, well, that's interesting. I want to know what he has to say. I want to know what God has to say about an unheard life. And so I was listening, and eventually he quoted something about being busy and driven, and that didn't seem to fit with what I thought I heard. And then he said the title again, and I'd misheard him. It was The Unhurried Life. That's good too, I thought, but my mind drifted, and I wondered what time we were going to wrap things up, and maybe I should have paid attention because I was in a hurry to get up and go. And soon he said, amen, and we sang a closing hymn, and we headed to the door. Precious Lord, take my hand, let's go to lunch. Amen and amen. That never happens here, right? But here's the thing. Even though that service was in many, many ways absolutely unremarkable, it would not let me go. Partly it wouldn't let me go because some of the theology bothered me a little bit. It's a hazard of being a pastor in the pew. Partly it wouldn't let me go because the sparse attendance was kind of sad to me. Partly it wouldn't let me go because I went really wanting to feel God's presence, but leaving thinking, I don't know. And yet for some reason, I hung on to the bulletin for that service. It was in my purse for months. I would go to get my wallet out, I'd see it in there, and I'd think, you know, I just need to throw that out. But I couldn't. And then just last week, I saw it in there again, and I pulled it out, and I was thinking about this service, and I noticed something that I hadn't before. I noticed that I had written myself a note on the front of that bulletin. I thought I probably took one of those little tiny golf pencils from the back of the pew and wrote myself a note. But then I looked and it was in ink, so I really must have wanted to document some thought about that service because I took the time to dig through my purse and find a pen and write it down. And this is what I wrote. The unheard life is what I heard. The unheard life is what I heard. Something in me really wanted to remember that mishearing that morning. The unheard life is what I heard. What an odd phrase. Ironic, really. I heard the unheard life. Those with ears to hear, listen. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. The good news is proclaimed to the poor. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. I heard the unheard life unbidden. All of these scriptural images kept flooding to my consciousness. I heard the unheard life. And I thought, this seems to me what Jesus did in his ministry. Jesus heard those previously unheard. Jesus still hears the voices of those who for so long have gone unnoticed, or ignored, or dismissed, those who have been stepped over and walked on for millennia. Jesus silences demons and heeds the cries of those who are possessed by them. Jesus cleanses lepers, those isolated, ostracized, excluded. He hears their heartfelt request, Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean. I do choose. Be clean. Jesus cares about a centurion's servant, about a widow's only son, a Jewish leader's daughter, and a foreigner's little girl, too. Jesus hears the cries of the unheard, and he heals, and he restores, and he resurrects. There is no unheard life to Jesus Christ. He has ears to hear. The question is, do we? Jesus hears the sinful woman's weeping. He hears the groans of the Gerasene demoniac. Do you remember when that desperate woman who has lunged at Jesus and touched the cloak of his garment, she comes before him, she's trembling, and she says, it was me. I am the one who touched you. And Jesus sees her. He hears her. He calls her daughter. He says, I have made you well. Go in peace. He listened to her. Because no one remains silenced in Jesus' presence. He has ears to hear. The question is, do we? He hears the hungry crowds and parents begging on behalf of their children. He hears captives longing for freedom. He hears the groans of the oppressed who have been put last and last and last again and again and again. He hears them and he says, come to the front of the line in the kingdom of heaven. He says, the kingdom of heaven, it belongs to you. Jesus says, I have ears to hear. And I want you to listen and believe when I tell you that I love you and you are mine. Thirst and hunger no more. Come take your seat at the heavenly banquet and worship. Worship, all you tribes together, all of you in your baptismal robes, clothed in Christ, you have been through the ordeal. But you are unheard and unseen and unregarded no more. Because I see you, I hear you. So come and join the Amen of all nations that resounds through all creation. Because Jesus hears the unheard lives of every tribe and every nation. The very ones who in our hurry and our worry and our selfishness, we too often walk past or trample over or ignore or exploit. Because somehow we have forgotten that God calls us. Remember that passage in Genesis? God calls us and claims us and forgives us and clothes us and gives us a new name and makes of us a people that through us, all the families of the world will be blessed. From beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, the people of God of every tribe and nation are called to join the one Amen, to bow down to the Lamb on the throne and acknowledge that salvation belongs to God, not just when Christ returns, not just when we see God face to face, not only when crying and mourning and death are no more, not just after we have survived the ordeal and been given our radiant robes, but right here and right now. Right here and right now, in the midst of the ordeals of life, in the midst of people who are in the midst of ordeals, we are to worship. We are to worship together the Amen of all nations to the Most High God, the voices of the unheard, championed, amplified, and celebrate. I can't help but wonder, in this world that is full of so much noise, so much shouting and rancor and screaming and anger, what it might mean if we gathered in worship and we worship the slaughtered lamb, the Son of Man who came to save the world, the crucified Lord who died for all. What it might mean for us to worship together with shouts of joy and songs of praise, with amens and hallelujahs so loud they drowned out the hate. And that worship invites the voices of those unheard to be heeded. I wonder what it might mean if Christians, disciples of the servant Lord, the one who washed feet and ate with sinners and welcomed children and touched the unclean, the one who heard the cries of those who for so long were silenced, I wonder what it might mean if we did those things too. And if that service was our earthly worship to the one at the center of the temple. What if we worshiped with singing in here and servant leadership out there? What if we had the ears to hear the voices of those long silenced? I am so troubled by the state of our life together. I am so troubled by our inability to listen to each other. I am so troubled that we cannot hear anything outside of our own echo chamber. I am so troubled that we cannot hear the still small voice of God, that we cannot hear the laments of our brothers and sisters. I am so trouble that so many are still so unheard. But Jesus says, let those with ears hear. The risen Christ says, let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. God booms from the clouds. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen. Listen to the one who says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Listen to the one who says, feed my sheep. Listen to the one who says, forgive 70 times 7. And by the way, take the log out of your own eye first. Listen to the one who says, you have heard it say. You have heard it. But here's what I say. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Listen to the one who instructs us, those who want to be first, they should be last. Listen to the one who commands us, love one another. Listen to the Messiah who gave himself up to be crucified and says to us, when you visit the prisoner and clothe the naked, when you hear the unheard lives, the least, the lost, you are listening and tending to me. What if the amens of all the tribes in heaven were heard through us? To all the nations of the earth, in the justice and kindness and mercy of Christ's disciples right here and right now. What if heavenly singing and earthly compassion were indistinguishable from one another? Wouldn't it be beautiful? Wouldn't it beckon people to us? Wouldn't it reverberate through all creation, the amen of all nations? No life unheard. All blessed and bound together in worship until that day when hunger and thirst are no more. And God wipes every tear from every eye of everyone. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches, because on any ordinary, typical Sunday, you may hear an unheard life. And I know Jesus does. Amen?
Amen.